pray. Lord Jesus, show us your glory as we listen to you. Amen. Now, I'm convinced that this is the wrong way to do it, but I've been told there are people out there among us who like to read the ending of a book before they've read the story. Now, for me, I've had enough experience with seeing, you know, the movie before reading the book that I've realized that knowing how it ends kind of takes the momentum away from me. If I already know how it ends, I have a really hard time reading the book to get to the ending, right? And so it makes no sense to me why you would want to read the end. But what I'm told is that this is something that people do because they want to make sure that after they've invested so much time and so much mental effort and maybe even some emotional deposits into these characters that they're reading in the book, that they want to make sure there's a good ending so that at the end of it, they don't look back and say, ah, this wasn't even worth it, right? I'm just feeling sad or whatever it would be. Right? So people, as I understand it, right, people read the endings of books before they read the story because they want to be sure that the effort they invest into reading the story is going to be worth it to them. Now, I'm convinced that that's the wrong way to read stories. But wouldn't it be really nice if that was something we could do in real life? If we had something that allowed us to look into the future and see the ending of a plan, a venture, a line of, or a strategy, whatever it is, right? Wouldn't it be nice if we could have something that allowed us to peek at the ending before we invested so much time and effort and resources into whatever it is that we are about to do? It would give us so much peace of mind, wouldn't it? It would give us reassurance that when things get tough, if things get painful, if we suffer loss along the way, it's worth it to push through, to endure, to suffer even. Because what waits for us on the other side is a good ending. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that in our real life, day to day? I can imagine that the disciples of Jesus were thinking, maybe knowing the ending wasn't such a good thing. You see, we read just a few minutes ago from the Gospel of Mark that what we heard about, the transfiguration of Jesus, took place 6 days later than whatever it was that was told us earlier in Mark chapter 8. So what happened 6 days before? Well, Jesus' ministry and teaching had taken kind of a left turn. Up to that point, Jesus had spoken in parables about the kingdom of God. He had been teaching people what it means to be a follower of him. But 6 days before the events of the transfiguration, Jesus had come out and hadn't spoken in parables. He had come to his disciples and told them in no uncertain terms where his road was leading him. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. And there I'm going to be rejected by the leaders of the Jewish religion and nation. I am going to be handed over. I'm going to suffer. And I'm going to die a humiliating and horrible death. And then he turned to his disciples and gathered them near and said, if you want to be my disciples, here's what that means for you. You need to deny yourself, take up your own cross and follow me where I lead you. Oof. Right? If that's a glimpse of the end of the story, the end of the book, do you want to invest the time and the effort into reading the rest? If that's where this story is leading you, to a cross, an instrument of torture and death, if it is leading you to a place where it requires you to deny yourself, to deny your desires, to deny the things that seem most comfortable and pleasant to you in order to follow Jesus where he is leading you, if that's what it means, are you willing to go on the rest of the journey along which he is taking you? If that's the end of the story, the disciples would have looked ahead and seen that every single one of them but one was being led by Jesus down a road that would end in their death. Some of them even on a literal cross. The only one who wouldn't die a martyr was John. And even John would be exiled and persecuted throughout his life for his connection to Jesus. That's the end of the story. Do you even bother reading the rest of it? Do you even bother following Jesus? But on the Transfiguration Mountain, Jesus showed his disciples that the cross that he would die on, the cross that he calls you and me, Christians, to carry as we follow him, the cross is not the end of the story. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his inner circle, up the mountain, and there he was transfigured before them. There he shone with the glory of the sun. We are told that his clothes were whiter than any launderer could bleach them, and his face shone with the glory of heaven. There, Jesus revealed the glory that was his from before the creation of the world, the glory that was his as the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, his power and his light and his life were undeniable that day. Do you think that was maybe a little bit of a recharge moment for Jesus? Right, as he was taking this left turn in his ministry and walking, beginning to walk that final stretch of the road to Jerusalem where a cross awaited him, do you think that this was maybe a little bit of a shot in the arm for him? In his human nature, according to his humanity, we know that the fact that he was headed to his death troubled him. We hear that, see it very clearly as he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweat like drops of blood falling from his forehead. We see how he was troubled by the pain and the sorrow, the death and the hell that were waiting for him on that cross. Do you think that this moment of glory was a recharge, a refocus, something that showed Jesus, yes, there is pain and death and hell waiting for you, but on the other side, this is the end of the story. Glory. But then, not just Jesus appeared in glory, but also Moses and Elijah. Those two great Old Testament believers, those two models of faith and perseverance. Think about what Moses went through. Think about how he led the people of Israel for 40 years wandering through the wilderness, dealing again and again with their discontentment and their grumbling, their rebellion against the Lord. Think about the burden he carried, the cross that he bore throughout his life in service to his God. Now, standing with Jesus, glorified, with all of heaven's glory. And Elijah, who lived and prophesied at the time of the most wicked king in all of Israel's history, Ahab, and his queen Jezebel, who not only set up rival deities to go up against the Lord during their time on the throne, but actually tried to supplant the worship of the Lord with the worship of the false god Baal, and persecuted and killed the prophets of the true God. His life was no cakewalk. But here, Elijah is glorified with all the glory of heaven, standing with Jesus on this mountain. Do you think as they conversed, Jesus got a recharge? As he realized, not only realized, he knew, but as he got this taste of what his suffering and death would accomplish, his people, whom he dearly loves, glorified because of what he would do. But Jesus' transfiguration is not just the end of the story for Jesus. Because in Moses and Elijah, you and I and the disciples there that day see the end of the story for us. The end of our story is not the cross, is not suffering and pain and denial and death. It is the glory of God shining on us, shining in us, totally free from every sin and every struggle, totally free from every difficulty and every pain. This is the glory that awaits for those who follow Jesus where he leads. He leads us to the cross, but not only there. He leads us past the cross and into glory forever. It's no wonder Peter wanted to set up shelters, right? It's no wonder that Peter wanted to stay and bask in that glory for as long as he possibly could. Who would want to go back to bearing a cross after seeing, after being bathed in all the glory of heaven? And don't we have to admit that we'd really like that too? Don't we have to admit that if we had the choice between a glorious existence now and having to bear a cross, we'd much rather have the glory and skip straight to the ending? Isn't this the way that our heart works? We're always seeking after glory. We're always seeking after the thing that is going to lift us up, whether that be wealth or recognition, honor and influence, whether that be a meaning for life that we can see and taste and touch and feel and have right now. What we really find our hearts longing after is glory. But we end up going after glory that looks more like a heaven on earth than us in heaven. But notice what the voice from the cloud, what God the Father's own word said to Peter as he brought this proposal to Jesus. Let me build three shelters. Let us stay here. The cloud descended, and the voice said, "This is my son whom I love. Listen. Listen to him." And when the cloud lifted, Moses and Elijah were gone. Jesus no longer shone with the glory of heaven. It was just normal, everyday Jesus. Friends, we need to listen Jesus. We need to listen to Jesus when he tells us that the story has more than an ending. What kind of place would we be if all we had were endings, right? The endings of stories are meaningful because of the rest of the story, because of what it takes to reach the ending. Without it, doesn't mean a thing. That's why I think, even if you do skip and read the ending before you've read the story, you still go back and read the story to see how they got there, right? And so when we listen to Jesus, we hear him tell us that the glory doesn't happen without the cross. Jesus, at the end, as he walked down the Mount of Transfiguration, was just Jesus, normal everyday Jesus, but normal everyday Jesus walked every step of the rest of the road to the Mount of shame and suffering. He walked every step of the road that led to the cross. And it's on that cross that Jesus gave his life, the life that was revealed on the Mount of Glory to be the life of God. He gave his life so that you and I could have his glory. He gave his life so that you and I could have heaven. He gave it to wipe away every one of our sins, every bit of our guilt, our sinful heart that longs to have heaven on earth instead of life in heaven. He died so that we could know what the end of the story is, so that we could be absolutely certain that the end of our story isn't up to us, but is instead entirely guaranteed by his death and by his resurrection. And now you and I, we look at Jesus and see, just like we sang in the previous hymn, right? We see double glory. The glory of the Son of God revealed in light and power, and the glory of Jesus' love. The glory of Jesus' love that led him to humble himself, to hide that glory, and to die for us that we could have it all. We see glory clearly in Christ, clearly in his willingness to be our Savior and to do every bit of what it would take to guarantee us heaven. And now, doesn't that help us to see differently what is glorious here in our lives on earth? Because if what was glorious in Jesus, if what was most glorious in him was his love for us, that led him not to assert and elevate himself, but rather to humble himself to meet our greatest need, then what is glorious in the kingdom of heaven but the one who makes himself the least to serve others? What is glorious in God's sight, and what is now revealed to us to be glorious in God's sight, is to bear a cross, to deny ourselves, to serve and love others, to serve and love, and to not think first and foremost about how I can exalt myself, but how I can lift others up. This is glorious in God's sight. Not because it adds to or earns glory, but because it reflects the glory of Christ and his self-sacrificing love, the love that did earn us glory in heaven. So now you do see the end of the story. God has shown it to you, not only in Jesus' transfiguration, but in his glorious resurrection from the dead. You see glory clearly in Christ. So live, knowing that no matter what difficulty, suffering, self-denial, or any other cross you may carry through this life, the end of the story is good. Better than you could ever imagine, better than you could ever see with your eyes, but you see it with eyes of faith. You see the glory of Christ and his love for you, and in the glory that he will one day crown you with as well. Amen.